This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast Pride Extravaganza. My name is Jamie, and I'm your host, and you are listening to not one, but two episodes per week of queer family goodness of the Queer Family Podcast throughout the entire month of June. That is what the Queer Family Podcast Pride Extravaganza is all about, and it has been fun. I have so many wonderful, wonderful episodes lined up for you, and a couple have already played. I hope you've been tuning in. If you haven't, go back and listen to the ones that already played. And today's episode is just as good as the rest, maybe even better. Katie Mason, also known as Hello Katie on social media, a surrogate, a doula, and is using her platform to educate folks on what surrogacy is, especially as it pertains to the queer community, to help normalize how we make our families. And she's really doing a really great job. And I was so excited to talk to her. I wanted to talk to her about her. I wanted to hear her story. And that's all I'm going to tell you until we roll the tape, because I want Katie to say it for herself. It's a really fun interview. But before we get to it, I want to talk about something. Right before Pride Month hit, happy Pride, y'all. Oh, if you didn't know, I'm all prided up. I got if you're watching the video, you'll see I have my Pride bandana wrapped around my neck because I love to do that. I've got one of our shirts that is in our merch store, which says Visibility Matters. It's one of my slogans that I love because visibility matters, and all the guests this month are really demonstrating how much visibility matters. Okay, before Pride Month hit, I did something in true lesbian fashion. I went camping with my family and our gay BFFs and their kid. You know, we're a chosen family, and our kids call them Aunt So-and-so and Aunt So-and-so, and the kids are cousins, even though they're not blood cousins. Anyway, chosen family situation. We go camping with them all the time. True lesbian fashion, we go camping. And I just want to talk about something that happened camping. Usually we go to a secluded spot where we're alone. It's just us. There's no bathrooms. We're kind of roughing it, not like roughing it, but there's no toilets, you know, stuff like that. But this particular time we went to an actual campground where there was like a communal bathroom and there were like showers there. It was a new experience for me. And, you know, I was like, I'm not going to shower. I'm lesbian, you know, and I didn't shower. I'm proud of myself. You know, you go camping because you're supposed to get dirty. Am I right? I don't know. Anyway, so we go and, you know, every time I go in the bathroom, I'd see all these ladies in there. Like, there were ladies that brought their robes and they were standing in front and there's a mirror in the bathroom. There should be no mirror when you're camping. You're not supposed to look at yourself. I know that my hair was looking all kinds of witch away crazy, but that's the point of camping. Sorry to my kids who had to see mama looking toe up, but mama looks toe up when she camps, and that's the point. Anyway, there would be women in there like with like 20 to 30 minute skin routines in the mirror, and I would find myself just kind of like staring. Like, first of all, I have a skin routine, but it's like 3 minutes, and I thought that was really a lot. But I would be, and I'm just so fascinated. So I'd be standing there like washing my hands, finding myself staring at them and then realizing, Jamie, stop staring. That's so rude. But I'd be looking, oh my God, what is that lotion? Well, now what are they doing? Well, now what are they? And then we're, mind you, I said we're camping, right? Then they pull out their makeup bags. Then they put like a full face of makeup. We're camping. Defeats the purpose. So anyway, it was a new experience for me. But I did wear we call this lovingly amongst my chosen family in my gay BFFs that go camping with us. We call it the gay shmata. We all wear one. One of us who's Jewish titled it the gay shmata. I don't know if it makes sense, but now it's just stuck with us, the gay shmata. And we love it. And I just have been loving wearing it since we went camping. But I don't understand the makeup. Do you wear makeup when you camp, y'all? No. Please tell me you don't. Okay, anyway, I just had to get that off my chest. I'm still thinking about it, and it was a while back. All right, before I roll the tape, I just want to let you know, if you like this content, if you love hearing about queer families, you need to go to Patreon and join my Patreon community. I have various tiers on Patreon that start at just $2 a month. You're going to get bonus content there, like video episodes dropped a full day early, so you're in the know before everybody else. Who doesn't want that? And it's just a fun way to get involved in the community that also really enjoys this podcast. You should also start to represent, because it's Pride Month. I have all kinds of designs in my merch store. This one is one of them. If you're watching the video, it says Visibility Matters. There are other ones as well. So go check it out. Go get the product that works for you and represent our queer families this month and all day and every day of every year. Why not? So you're going to find that at tpublic.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You can also find it on our website at thequeerfamilypodcast.com. And you can find it in our Instagram link in bio if you prefer to just be on Instagram all the time. Also, make sure you're following us on all the socials. Speaking of Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube at The Queer Family Podcast. And YouTube is where you're going to find these video episodes. So everything you're hearing in your ears on your podcast app is also in full video edited form. And it's beautiful to see. And it's fun to watch us actually chat in real time. So go check it all out. I would love to see you all there. Drop us a note. Let us know what you think. Only if it's positive. I'm just kidding. Don't forget to rate and review the show. All those things make a huge difference in getting this out to a wider and wider audience. And if we really want to normalize our families, we need to go big. We need to go big or go home. All right. So without further ado, let's bring Katie Mason. I act like she's like outside the door. Let's roll Katie's tape. You got to check it out. It's a beautiful, wonderful episode. Helen and Beulah, my two lovebird fake assistants, will you please roll that tape? Thank you so much. I'll see you soon.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
I am so happy to have you here. Katie, we found Katie on social media because Katie is doing bomb ass stuff on social media, educating the public on some queer family matters, and I'm just super happy to have you here for our Pride extravaganza.
Love it.
Okay, before I don't want to try to butcher who you are because I feel like you're going to say it way better than me. So I think we should just jump right into your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are, Katie Mason, and why you are here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. That was so official sounding.
What that was. All right, 30 seconds.
Don't worry. I'm never going to cut you off. And you can just keep it going. I don't even care. It's all just for fun. But I am going to put a timer up. I really am.
Okay. Let's do this.
Okay. On your mark. Get set. Go.
Okay. Hi, I'm Katie. I'm from Tennessee. I'm a mom of three beautiful children of my own. I am a previous egg donor and previous gestational surrogate. Back in 2021, I carried a baby through gestational surrogacy for my friends Taylor and Kyle. And it just sort of really took hold of my life, the whole surrogacy process. So now I am also a surrogacy professional. I run the surrogacy department at my agency, Elevate Baby. The timer's ticking. And I also do advocacy and education on social media because I love this whole process. And like I said, it's just taken over my life in a big way.
Awesome. Yay. I love that. That was amazing.
That was hard.
You did a great job. No, you did a great, you put a lot in there. I'm very impressed. You're like a pro. You are a pro. But okay, so, all right, you have how many babies, you said?
Three.
I don't know if they're still babies, but you've had three children of your own.
Yeah.
What are their ages?
Well, I mean, they're all still like babies to us, no matter what their age, right? So my kids are 11, 9, and my daughter just turned 5. So they're older.
I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. So I just don't have that older aspect. But and I've been waiting for them to be 9 and 5 for so long so I could say I have a Dolly Parton 9 to 5.
Oh my God. I love Dolly and I've never even thought of that. And I'm gonna use it forever. Well, at least for the next year.
Yeah. I mean, me too. Ever since I realized that they were gonna be 9 and 5 at the same time, I've been waiting. And it's really awesome. So
that
you're the first
so
person
perfect.
I met who has the same thing, a Dolly Parton 9 to 5.
I just love that.
OMG. Okay, so let's take this back because I don't want to out you, but do you identify as queer in any way?
Yeah, I do. So I would consider myself, I don't like somewhere on the spectrum of like pan to bi. I'm definitely attracted to people from, you know, all the genders.
I like it.
I've been married to my husband for quite a long time. And so that's something that's been part of our growing relationship. I got married when I was 19 years old.
Oh my God.
So I was still very much a baby myself and kind of coming into my identity. I'm still coming into my identity. But that's kind of how I would classify myself.
Oh, I love that. I actually wasn't expecting you to say that. I was just assuming you were just an ally, which is just as good.
Yeah. But,
okay. All right. Yeah. Love it. All right. Yeah. Well, welcome to the Queer Family Podcast. You belong. Either way you come, everybody belongs. But can we get into kind of like your journey towards surrogacy and like what happened there? What's the story?
Yeah. So I, you know, like I said, got married young. We started having babies very young. And in the process of having my own kids, I fell in love with birth. Not so much pregnancy, but definitely birth. Like I just thought it was this like empowering, like spiritual sort of experience. My career sort of started to shift at that point. Mm-hmm. I started training to become a birth doula. Mm-hmm. And attend births in that way. And as part of our training, we discussed, you know, kind of different types of birthing people that we might experience. And one of the things we talked about were gestational surrogates. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I had heard about surrogacy before that point, like in some small way. But at that point, it was just the right time of my life. You know, I've already had a child of my own. As soon as it really registered with me, of like, oh, this is like a thing that people actually do because you don't hear about it that much. At least you didn't back then.
No, right.
It just like really planted a seed in me and I knew right away, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a surrogate one day. And it was still like quite some time before I actually ended up carrying as a surrogate because we were still building our family. We ended up having a second and a third child. And I didn't want to pursue surrogacy until our little clan was kind of complete.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it was just really on my radar for so long. And once the opportunity kind of presented itself to be a surrogate, I just knew it was right. You know, for like a very long time, I looked at agencies or like all the other ways that you can kind of become a surrogate. And I just thought, this doesn't feel quite right. I feel like when the timing's right in my life, I'll know it. Mm-hmm. Like this just is such a big life experience to carry someone else's baby. I want it to be like perfect. That's kind of how I got started. And then in 2020, my friends, Taylor and Kyle, asked me if I would be their surrogate because they knew that it was something that I wanted to do at some point. And that was just this moment of like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, this is right. And so things went from there. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that. So it's friends that you did it for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've interviewed surrogates on the show before because that's one of the major ways that our families come to be. I mean, there's many, many, many ways. We're very creative, but that's a big one. Well, I'm just in awe of surrogates, gestational carriers in general, because, and I've interviewed like social workers and folks in the fertility industry who talk about surrogates like there are these, there's a type of person that is the surrogate. And when you see them, you just know them. And like, you're like these unicorn, lovely, beautiful people who do this amazing thing for folks and really are doing it out of altruistic reasons. So I just want to like give you props. I want to give you props for just like this amazing gift you've given.
Thank you.
It's just amazing. And first of all, listen, I've given birth to one baby. My wife gave birth to another. I thought I was going to be like mama, like mother nature, loving the pregnancy, loving all aspects, hated every second, hated every second. So there's no way in HELL I would ever become a surrogate for anyone. So, you know, props to you. Props to you, lady.
Thank you. I don't know if I feel like a magical unicorn type of person. Like to me, I'm just like, yeah, this sounded like a cool idea. Like, let's do it. It was an incredible experience. And I'm happy that I was in the position to be able to give that gift to someone. Like, honestly, how privileged am I that, you know, I haven't had like fertility issues or I haven't had to get creative, as you say, in building my family. So I just think the opportunity to do that for someone else like really spoke to me. And yeah, I was happy to do it.
And your husband was on board. Was that a tricky conversation or?
It wasn't tricky at all. No, it was just boom, boom, boom.
Two unicorns over there in that house.
He is a unicorn. You know, I think there's maybe like a precedent set in our marriage at that point of like, Katie's going to come up with crazy ideas and then we're just going to roll with it. So I don't know exactly what his first thought was when I said, hey, like, I think I should carry somebody else's baby. But I mean, he jumped on board immediately and has been such a good support to me ever since.
Wow. Good for him. Yeah. Good for him. Okay. So the thing about the other surrogates we've talked to is I think every single one of them went through kind of the agency route, right?
Yeah.
And sounds like you went a bit rogue, like on your own. So what did y'all do? How did you do it?
So it's very unique situation because they actually, when I met Taylor and Kyle, they own an egg donation agency. And that's kind of how we got connected is they had all this experience in the fertility world, like on that side of things. As like moving forward, once, you know, we had built this relationship and become friends, you know, years later, when we were ready to start the surrogacy process, they were also building their surrogacy agency. So they're agency owners now, you know, you see people who match independently and like carry for friends and they figure it all out on their own. That seems like a huge undertaking. It kind of was like that, but coming from the side of they knew all these things about the industry, had all these connections with fertility doctors and the attorneys, and they knew the process so well. It just made it very smooth for us. But thankfully, we went into it with a lot of education, a lot of experience in that world, but then also like just a really good foundation of knowing each other, trusting each other, friendship, mutual respect, which all good things.
Yeah. Like for everyone at home, and just as a like disclaimer, like you really do want to make sure you have everything buttoned up and know exactly what's going on, because this could become a very tricky, sticky situation if things are not handled right, or if, you know, you think you know the people, but then you don't, like, you need everything right. buttoned up legally and everything written down and right. You need contracts and things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You need a contract. Even if you're carrying for your sister, you need a contract. I mean, mm-hmm. it's so important. So we still went about everything in that very buttoned up kind of way, but we just had the added benefit of knowing each other and that being a good foundation for things.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Okay. So, and then what I have one more question regarding just, you know, getting started and stuff, because every, yeah. you know, I know that a lot of gestational carriers / surrogates do go through mental health screening and things like that. And, but I know that it's not across the board. It's not like always necessary. So did you go through that as well?
You did. Oh yeah. Yeah, that was a requirement even just for the fertility clinic they were working with to make sure that surrogates were psychologically evaluated, which, yeah, I would say that's a very standard part of the process. And again, no matter who you're carrying for, you mm-hmm. should still do this step. It's important.
Yeah, just to make sure. Just to make sure. Yeah. So, okay, so then what happens? They ask you, you say yes, and then where do we go from there?
Yeah. So there was a little bit of a waiting period. This was all kind of ramping up and getting started at the beginning of COVID. And at the beginning, you know, fertility clinics were closing for weeks at a time, you know, only working with their patients that were currently pregnant. So we didn't end up doing the embryo transfer until February 2021. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I went into it with a general understanding of like all the different things that could happen. Like I knew that IVF wasn't always successful, but also just kind of this, I don't know, maybe like toxic positivity mindset of like, things are just going to go well, like it's going to go great. And like, thankfully it did.
Yeah.
Embryo transfer took on the first try.
Wow.
We were pregnant and just wild, wild experience. Yeah.
Amazing. Good job. I mean, you'd already done it three times. So your body was like, here we go again.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's it. Like when your children have just like, came easily, you know, getting pregnant was maybe a little too easy for me. So I'm just thinking, yeah, this will be the same way, like no big deal.
And it worked out.
And it did. Great. Yeah.
Cool. And then, okay. And then the pregnancy, how did it all go? How did it all flow?
Awesome. I mean, it went great. Like I said, I'm caring for people who I already know were friends. We talk on a daily basis. And so throughout the pregnancy, they don't live local to me. So we're kind of split across the country. They were in Las Vegas and then I'm in Tennessee. So we had the distance, but we're able to still feel really connected, just communicating and sending videos and all these things. And that's kind of when I started like my social media stuff, really with no desire to like have an audience of any kind or like be a content creator. But you know, I had been looking forward to being a surrogate for so long and I didn't really have the time to keep a journal. And I just thought, I'll just make videos and this will be a cool way to kind of document the process. So that's also something I was doing when I was pregnant. And it was a wonderful pregnancy. Again, like just naive positivity, like went in thinking nothing's going to go wrong. And it pretty much didn't. It was a really smooth pregnancy. And then around 40 weeks, because I like to cook them a little extra around here, around 40 weeks, we were like looking down the path of being ready for the birth. So the dads, they flew out here and were here for a few weeks leading up to the birth and which was of course like its own whole amazing experience in and of itself.
Yeah. Can you talk about it a little? Like what was it like for you?
The birth was fantastic. So I'm in kind of like a small area of, you know, Tennessee. It was the first surrogate that anyone at my midwife practice or anyone at the hospital had ever come into contact with. So it was kind of new for everybody.
Oh, wow.
It ended up being great because they were all very excited and like interested to kind of see a birth go in a different way. But
okay.
It
go
was
ahead, Tennessee.
Go Tennessee. But I know. For this, it was great.
It's one positive thing there.
Yeah, thankfully. Whew, don't get me started. But it was just such an amazing experience. They were there. It was very slow to start. You know, I got induced. So we're sitting around waiting a lot. We're hanging out. My husband was there also as a support to me. So that was very important to me that the dads be there, but also I have someone there for myself, because we've been through three births together already. Mm-hmm. And it was important that I have that kind of support. But they were present throughout the labor. And as soon as baby was born, it was very important to them that she go to me first. Kind of their take was like, you know, we know you're not connected maybe emotionally to her. And let's be clear, like there's no confusion there. Like this entire time I'm pregnant and going through this process, it's what you're excited about to give the baby back. You know, that's the exciting part of it. But, you know, they had asked me, you know, can she just go to you first? So they put her on my chest. We hung out for a minute. You know, the dads like did their skin to skin. And then we were together for the next few days, but really we're still together. I still have an amazing relationship with them. Mm-hmm. I come up to visit every few months and spend time with their daughter. And I know not every surrogacy journey goes this way, but for myself, like it just couldn't have been a better experience. And I'm so glad that now I get to call these people and this baby. Of course, like there's no mother relationship here in any way. I kind of refer to myself as like the aunt with a weird story about this time I carried you in my belly. But they've become part of my family. And I think that's really a special thing.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like in the queer community, chosen family is such a big thing.
Totally.
And you're just a chosen family with a much like real connection, like a strong biological connection there. I mean, you carried their baby, which is just beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Just gorgeous. I have a question for you regarding the whole, because I saw on your social, and we're going to get into your social media and like how you're doing it, because I think it's just, you're doing a brilliant job and it's funny and it's fun and it's beautiful, but we'll get into that. And I saw a video regarding this on your social. With your babies, there was that strong connection all through the pregnancy, but during this pregnancy, there wasn't that connection. And you said it beautifully in the video. Way better than I just said it. But like, can you go into that? Because in my head, I'm like, oh my God, putting the baby on my chest, I'd be afraid that what if I get feelings for the baby? And like, I want to hear your take on that because you say it so beautifully. So,
well, I mean, first of all, my family going into this process, my family was complete and like very complete. Like we are set. I don't want any more kids of my own. You know, I think there could still be that potential for people to get emotionally connected. Again, this is one of the reasons you do your psych evaluation. Mm-hmm. So there's a really clear understanding of expectations and kind of your personality type. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, to me, like becoming a parent is so much less about biology even, or like who carried you in their uterus. And mm-hmm. I think parenthood is about intention. And for me, the intention, yeah, right?
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
And for me, since the intention was never there, like I'm not the one planning and dreaming about this baby and fighting to become a parent for so long. Like I already had my family. I think that really just set that distinction right away. And because I have these other people on the other side of the equation, you know, the dads that have been talking about this experience since like, you know, the moment they started dating practically, that it just made it very real. Like, this is not my baby. This is for them. And there was never a confusion in my body, even like little things. Like, you know, when I was pregnant with my own kids, like I used to dream about them. I had these vivid dreams. Mm-hmm. And when I was pregnant with the surrogate pregnancy, I didn't have those, but the dads did. They were dreaming about her all the time. And I think it just shows that, again, parenthood is, it's just bigger. It's bigger than that. And she already had two dads who were ready to bring her home.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm crying here. You're making me tear up because like, you're so right. It's intentionality. Parenthood is intentionality. And we say this over and over again on this show, the amount of intentionality queer folks bring to their family building journeys. And like, I just thank you. Yes, that was like a mic drop moment. Good job.
It's true though. It's true. You know, when your kids come to you easy, maybe you don't think of it like that. Mm-hmm. But when you're on the other side and you've had to jump through every possible hoop just to bring children into your home, like, because I knew that, and especially because I had the relationship with them too, like, that's what was exciting about it. There was never some sad, like, you know, that's what everybody says. Like, wasn't it hard to give away the baby or give the baby to them? Like, no. You know, I felt like She was just on loan. Like, that was their baby from the second it started, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just where she's growing. So,
I mean, it's not just where she's growing because, you know, like, there, you know, there's, what do they call it? Epigenetics, where your body can't turn on certain genes in the womb and, you know, and that's why the dads chose the person they chose because they loved you, right? So you're more than just a house, but it's just beautiful. Like, the way this family came about is beautiful, and you're such an integral, amazing part of it. And, like, I'm thanking you for all the queer folks out there.
Oh, thank you. I mean, that's why I love what I do. Like, whenever, and I know I mentioned, like, I do this kind of professionally now too, working for an agency. And whenever I'm having, like, a cheeky day, again, remember I live in Tennessee. And someone asks me, like, what do you do for work? My favorite answer is, I help gay people have babies for a living.
That's my favorite thing.
That's what I do. And I love describing it that way too. Of course, we help straight families as well, but.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's just they're over there and we're here. Okay.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh, true. I love that. That's amazing. So let's get into your social media and, like, what you're doing, because your videos are fun and they're also informative. And I feel like it's a nice, like, parallel to kind of what this podcast is trying to do. So can you go into your social media and well, you already said kind of how it came about, but talk about it.
Yeah. Again, I never, like, had an intention to, I want to be, like, a social media creator or, like, a popular face for surrogacy. That ever was never on my radar. And I started on TikTok. I had a couple of videos that, I mean, as a shock to me, kind of took off, went viral. And I realized, I mean, a couple of things. First of all, that surrogacy and this whole process and, like, kind of adjacent factors like egg donation and IVF, that there's just a lot of stigma. There's a lot of it that people don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so I realized, like, I can kind of be the person maybe to help demystify this a little bit, to help advocate for this a little bit. And so that's kind of, like, my goal with my social media. I always want to be real. Sometimes, you know, that does come across as being lighthearted about things. I make a lot of jokes and, like, silly TikTok videos. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the bigger message is just about promoting visibility, as, like, this is a very common now way to build your family. And a lot of people don't see it as that. And kind of getting the conversation flowing. Because, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of stigmatization. There's a lot of
ignorance.
Negative opinions. Ignorance. Yeah. Tons of ignorance. That's where it all stems from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you're doing the good work. And it's, like, and it's super important. And you keep it fun. And that's also super important because, you know, we don't want to be lectured at. We want to have fun while we learn, of course.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing. And how old is the baby now?
She is, let's see, she'll be 2 on Halloween. She's a little Halloween baby.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if she calls you anything in particular, if they have a name for you, but she's still pretty young.
Yeah, still developing. But on my last visit there, she's, like, you know, starting to get to that, like, vocal point where she's talking, but she said my name several times, Katie. And it was just like, oh my gosh, it just makes it so real, you know, like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I birthed you. And, like, now you're saying my name. It's wild. But, you know, their intention, I mean, hopefully this is clear already, like, these people are part of my family, is to be very open with her, that she was carried by a surrogate, that she was conceived, you know, with the help of an egg donor. I think that's personally the way to go about it, is to be honest with our kids. And
100%.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have a relationship going forward for many years, I hope.
Yeah, you will. And do you get any hate on your social?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really?
Oh, yes. Oh, oh yeah. Man,
I was hoping the answer was no. I really thought the answer was going to be no.
No. Dang. No, unfortunately. Really? Unfortunately, there's a lot of hate. And, you know, honestly, most of the time, I just completely brush it off.
Yeah.
Especially when I was pregnant, I would get a lot of just, like, kind of comments. And I like to just flip the script and do, like, a sassy kind of clapback moment and tag people. I think people should be held responsible for the crazy shit they are willing to say online. So I'm happy to do that sometimes. But again, like, I try to keep things fun. I try to keep things informational. And You know, I don't delete the hate messages, as painful as it is for like me to see things, especially like, very soft spot in my heart. Like I can handle receiving a lot of hate personally. You know, people will say surrogates are greedy, surrogates are unethical. Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And I can take that. Like I do not care. I'm very confident in my life decisions and that doesn't matter. When the comments shift to being about the dads.
Yeah.
It like it gives me chills just saying it because it's just like mama bear instincts up. I can't handle that. So that's why a lot of my content has shifted to talking about gay people, gay men, like all different types of families should have the same opportunities that you had when you started your family. You know, no one interjected with an opinion then when you decided to procreate. So
yeah,
people
exactly.
People, you know, as you know, feel very comfortable saying a lot of different things online.
It's really insane. And I can relate too, because we've gotten some hateful comments. Like we, of course they're out there, but I have a guest on for each episode. And so just like you, I feel this like mama bear, like instinct, like you can say what you want about me. Although my skin, I don't think it's as thick as yours. Like I get like a little, I get like a little hurt and then I get really angry, but like, don't put these comments on these episodes that I'm highlighting these amazing people. Like that's not okay. I'm protecting them. Right. So, and that's where that stickiness comes in. And it's just really unfortunate that, that these trolls are even out there. Like mind your business.
Right.
Fix yourself first.
Exactly. And it just shows the ignorance. Like, again, the reason comments like that strike me so hard is like, oh my God, if you even knew these dads, like, you know, people will say things like, oh, isn't she going to be referring to the baby? Mm-hmm. She's going to like miss out on life opportunities because she won't have a mom. And I'm like, do you know these gay men? Like, she's getting the best hairstyles every day. Like, she is decked out. Like, she's good, I promise. And I'm not, like, underestimating the level that, like, our parents play in our life. Of course, you know, it's important. But what's important for kids is to have people that love you and that they're your team. And it doesn't matter if that's one mom, two dads, two moms. Like, it's about that intention. It's about just being there for your kids. And so, yeah, when I see those comments, it's just – the ignorance is overwhelming and it makes me angry.
Oh, it makes me angry. And like you said earlier, like with your whole surrogacy journey, it wasn't about the biology for you. It wasn't about that biological connection. Biology doesn't matter in parenting either. Like what kind of parts you have do not determine the kind of parent you're going to be. I know moms who are very much not the stereotypical thing that moms do, right? So the whole argument is just moot and out the window and like look around you at the world and stop seeing through these weird colored lenses because it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like that out there.
Exactly. So, no, yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Well, you know what? I love you and you're doing the good work and I appreciate you. And tell everybody where they can find you so that they can all go give you a follow. And if there are any potential people out there who are looking into surrogacy, tell them where they can find you because you're working in an agency now, you said, right? So yeah, tell us all the things.
Yeah. So you can find me on TikTok is kind of my main platform. I'm Hello Katie. Katie spelled weird, K-A-Y-D-E.
I like it.
And then on Instagram, I'm hello_Katie. But especially if you are a parent that's just starting this process of, you know, wanting to build your family through surrogacy, or if you're someone who thinks it might be a cool thing for you to become a surrogate, you can go to elevatebaby.com and apply there and get started. Or you can message me, like hit me up. I'm happy to walk anybody through the process. This has really become something, I mean, hopefully it's obvious. This is something I'm incredibly passionate about and has just become a major part of my life. So I love to help anybody out who's getting started. So hit me up.
Love it. Yes. Yeah. Hit her up. Ask her the questions, you know?
Yes.
Ask the questions.
I'm an open book.
Like you never know. Like also, even if you think it's something that's out of your league, you know, you gotta start somewhere and just try and ask the questions. You never know what you might find.
Exactly. They call it a journey for a reason.
Yeah, it's journey. Whew, yeah. They're all journeys. That's for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have one more question for you. And I'm asking everybody this who's in our Pride extravaganza. I think I have to say it like that every time now. but my question for you is, what does Pride mean to you? And I'm springing it on you. I'm sorry. But think about it.
What does Pride mean to me? Whew. I mean, that's such a big question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like what pride means for me, just especially just as it relates to what I do, is pride is about everybody having the same opportunities. Like I said before, making things accessible for everyone, no matter what your sexual orientation is, and being able to have those choices, the same choices that everybody else does. And I think that's what, I think that's how I feel about pride.
I love that. I love that answer. And I love you. And I'm going to keep following you on the social and keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing good stuff.
Please do. It was so nice to talk with you.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You're a part of the family now, so.
Good.
You're part of the Queer Fam Squad. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to hear. I'm so excited to tune in for Pride Extravaganza and hear the other episodes, and it'll be great.
You're in good company.
I mean, I'm sorry, Pride Extravaganza.
Yes.
Or however you
yes, exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. That's it, Katie.
Queer Family Podcast.
Well, folks, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Queer Family Podcast and the Pride Extravaganza. I have to say it like that every time, or it just doesn't count. I can't stop it now. I've created something and that's the way it goes. If you do like what you hear or what you're watching on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe, rate, review us. All those things help us get this out to an even wider audience. Under the realm of Visibility Matters, it makes a huge difference. So please go do all those things and feel free to write a really nice review. I don't mind that ever. Ever. And also make sure you're following us on all the socials. We are on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube at the Queer Family Podcast. Make sure you get your Pride merch with the Queer Family Podcast merchandise at tpublic.com/thequeerfamilypodcast, where you can also find that merchandise on our website, thequeerfamilypodcast.com. You can also find it in our Instagram link in bio if you're on Instagram more than anything. Do that, do all that stuff. And join me on Patreon. Patreon, you're going to get, actually, you get the video episode dropped a day early, y'all, which is huge. And some other bonus stuff too. So head to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. Find the tier you can afford and join. I would love to see you over there. Let's create a big community. Let's be visible, folks. I love you all so much. I'm so happy you tuned in. Please tune into the next one. And if you feel like watching another Queer Family Podcast episode and you happen to be on YouTube, just click to the next one. You might as well just watch us all day. I'm going to say that every week at this point. Watch us all day. Watch Queer Family goodness all day long. Because who can get enough of that? No one. Come on. I love y'all. I'll see you next time. I'll be in your ears next time, however you are listening or watching. You know what I mean. I love y'all. Thank you so much. Mwah. I'll see you next time.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.